Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, Bubba Fathers. Happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. And guys, we got a baseball team.
And the 1-1 pitch. That's a line drive into left field. That's a base hit. Castellanos hustling around second. Heading toward third. The ball dives in the grass. Dusty's going to wave him. The throw by Lindor. It's offline. The Phillies have tied the game. And the pitch. That was lined out toward right center field. The Phillies going to take the lead.
Good win last night. Fighting! The Brutes on Broad. Never out of it. Not with that lineup, not with those bats. And isn't there just a feeling? Sometimes you know, right? Sometimes you just get a feeling. And you know that you have a good ball club. This team is playoff bound. You can see it. You can feel it. You just know that they can... They're dangerous, and they get you anytime. That all they got to do is put a couple string of hits together, a couple of knocks, right? All it took was JT taking 1 yard, and all, you're back in the game. Then all of a sudden, the pressure starts on the opposition. And that's why the bats, and that's why this team is that dangerous. They're good. They're playoff bound. Now, we'll see. You know, again, obviously, you worry about pitching. Ranger was not good yesterday, and defense, we'll talk about Bowman in just a second. But, obviously, that's what you got to work on. But their bats are going to keep minute and win a lot of games. That's it. They're a great hitting team. It's a great lineup. And Sunday was an aberration. I said it yesterday. It was a frigid day. The wind was blowing in towards right. It was cold. It was not a hitter's day. And Joe went too soon, I thought, to the bench lineup. So you had your lineup in. I mean, they're going to rake. At some point, a guy's going to break. And especially now where you go to a bullpen, guys aren't going nine. And when you have, and I do think that that's an issue, because at some point there's going to be your relief. The starter's got to get out of the game, and it comes into your bullpen, and it's going to be a guy that they attack. That's what they are. They're an attacking team. They make contact. They're good. They're just really, really good. And you get the sense. You get the feeling. Again, baseball's crazy, so you never know what happens in the playoffs. But baseball playoffs, it's like hockey. Like, you never know who the hot team is in October. It's the same thing with the NHL playoffs. You never know who's going to be hot, what hot goalie comes about, what team's feeling good. There's always that thing. But over a long season, and this is what I know, they're a playoff team. And I think they're going to win a division. I think they're better than the Mets. And I know the Mets have pitching, and I think they're better in Atlanta. I look at them and go, they're going to just wait till the warm weather actually hits and you're into May, June, July, August, and they're just going to bash. There's going to be those days, 12, 15. You know, they're going to put ridiculous numbers up. They get dog days and pitchers hit walls, and they're going to just feast. That's how good this lineup is. And again, it's impossible to tell. After that, the one thing you know, They're really good. They're just a really good ball club. It's going to be a fun summer. It really is. Now, to Alec Bohm, I got to tell you, I applaud the kid. Look, we know he's not a good fielder, right? And you know about baseball. Baseball, the one sport that can just eat you alive, right? You're in your own head, whether it's a slump at the plate or a slump in the field. And a kid like Bohm, who just is not a gifted fielder, he's going to struggle with his glove. And he has that night where the ball just eats him up. And it's in his head. And, you know, you could totally understand the, I hate this place. Right? I get it. I believe me, you get it. Your heart goes out to him because you understand you have those nights. And especially, you have those nights where the ball is eating you alive. I understand it. I really do. But here's the thing. You either do one of two things. You hide from it. You're petulant. You're a baby. You're Ben Simmons.
I am who I am. It is what it is.
Wow, that was not planned.
No, not at all.
I said Ben Simmons, and Chunas played at Ben Simmons' cot.
That's awesome, man.
Well, we did not plan that. That's scary, Andrew. It's scary.
Spending too much time together.
Yes. But either you're him or your Bohm last night doing things the right way. Take a listen.
What about this video that surfaced and he's been loaded and saying it?
Yeah, I've heard. You know, look, emotions got the best of me. You know, I said it. And do I mean it? No. And it's a frustrating night for me, obviously. You know, made a few mistakes in the field. And look, these people, these fans, they just want to win. And, I mean, you heard it. We come back. They're great. And, you know, I'm sorry for them. You know, I don't mean that. And emotion just got the best of me.
So you actually love this game?
Yeah. You know what? I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And listen to what he's just said and how he handled it with Jim Salisbury. I mean, you handle it like a pro. You come out and, listen, you're just real. The one thing that we are is we're real. Good, bad, and different. If you're real in return and you're transparent, we'll embrace you. That's the bottom line. We'll embrace you. You got to be real and transparent. That's the issue right now with Doc Rivers. I don't think Doc Rivers could cause them to lose against the Raptors. He may not win the series like a Nick Nurse could possibly do, but he's not going to lose the series. I mean, you know, that'll happen if Harden is not who he is, that sort of thing. But you could see the pressure wearing on Doc Rivers. And we played you the exchanges, and it's just never the right thing to do. It's just never. It's an old, old, tired adage, but it's true. If you're just authentic and transparent, that's what works. And it works all over the place, not just in Philadelphia, but I will say especially here. Like, you give us your heart. He says that. Like, listen, I don't need him to tell me that because I'm watching this kid and I'm watching him. You can almost see the pretzel in his mind. Right? Like, oh my God, please don't hit the ball to me. Please don't hit the ball to me. I mean, listen, we've all played ball at some level of our lives, whatever sport, multiple sports. And you know, especially baseball, oh my God, I'm slumping. Please get a hit so I don't have to go up there right now because I'm slumping and I can't see anything and I'm going to strike out. Like, that goes through your mind. Please don't hit the ball on me because at some point, it goes through your mind. Please don't give me the open shot, right? All right? Because I get the open shot, I'm going to front rim it. Right? Like, those moments of self-doubt, that's your mind. You have to overcome your mind. If you're not, you know, LeBron, and you're not Vlad Guerrero, you know, that's what happens. Listen, the kid handled it like a champ, and I applaud it. Now, we'll see. I don't know where his future lies because he really does struggle with the glove. And at some point, you wonder, you know, is he just a DH? Now, he's got to be able to hit to warrant the DH tag. But in this team where you got a lot of DHs, right? You know, I don't know what happens to him come July. But I will say this, I root for the kid. I'm rooting for him all day long. Good morning, Tunis.
What's going on, man? How are you today?
Well, I'm happy with the Phillies.
Yeah, fired up, man.
They're good.
That was great.
They're a good team.
You cannot count out that lineup. You and I were on the phone this morning, as we are every day, and I said it's kind of like 08. You know, 08, the Phillies could be down 3-0 in the first inning. They'd be up 4-3 in the second. Like, they'll bounce right back because they had that much firepower in that offense. Same with 2009. And you're seeing that now with this team. I mean, from top to bottom, this lineup is pretty damn deep. Credit to Didi Gregorius. He had a big inning. Gave him the lead yesterday, which, with all the Alec Boehm stuff and obviously, you know, the JT home run, I don't think Didi's getting as much love as he should probably get today. So it was a nice win for the Phillies. They got a deep lineup, and you just can't count them out no matter what inning it is. It was the eighth inning yesterday. A lot of people were checked out at that point, down 4-0. And you just can't check out of this team because you never know. Same with the A's game on Sunday. You bet your ass I was expecting them to still come back and win that game. The second Gene Segura hits that home run late in the ninth inning, I go, they could probably still come back because they got the middle of the order coming up, and unfortunately they just didn't. But it was a lot of fun yesterday. I hate the Mets, team I hate the most in all of sports, so to watch them go down in typical Mets fashion the way that they did, it was great yesterday. It was a lot of fun, and we should enjoy this. This is going to be a lot of fun this year, man. Got a couple of nice, really warm days coming up, so good days to just sit back and watch some baseball, and they're fun to watch. It's not teams that you kind of fake your excitement with a little bit, like maybe we did last year. This is a legit lineup, and we should be fired up about this.
You know, you could see it.
Yes.
True, it's like you could sense it. And again, you see it. You feel it.
Yeah, last year.
What you're talking about is, it's real. Did you hear me once last year believe in it?
No.
Even during the Trudis train, I was patting you on the head, right?
You were there with me.
Because I love you.
Yes.
But did I believe in that team?
No.
Of course not. But when you feel this team, you see, like, I know that this team can rake.
And this is
this is real.
This is not early season, honeymoon like last year. Last year, they got out the gate hot. They got out the gate hot the year before that, too. And you're just kind of like, yeah, but this team still is lacking a little bit. And this year, I don't think that's going to be the last time they come from behind to win a game. And there was a stat that went out this morning that I thought was awesome. It was from ESPN. They were 0-54 when down by 4 runs or something like that. They hadn't come back down 4 runs that late since 2009.
You know why?
2010.
Because they haven't had a decent lineup
right,
since
exactly.
Then.
Yeah.
Since 2011.
Now you have one.
Because you had, in the words of Charlie, I got a bunch of leprechauns. Yes. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, it's right? Ben Revere and Juan Pierre on the same team.
I mean, this lineup is a great lineup.
Yes.
It's a lineup that has so much potential. It's just because you can't keep them. They're so deep. The DH makes it even more so.
Yeah. And if I'm an opposing team and I'm an opposing pitcher, I hate this team because they're patient.
Yes.
I mean, think about it. Bryce, Schwarber,
well, start with Schwarber.
Reese.
Right. You're right. They're all patient.
They're all patient.
Castellanos.
I would hate to pitch against this team because once you make that mistake,
yeah.
This team is now also. They're not just looking for walks. This team can also make you pay.
No, they're all good. Their approach. I like the coaching staff a lot.
Yeah, Kevin Long.
I like the coaching staff a ton, and they know they're just really good hitters, man. There's a difference. They're just good hitters. They really, really are good hitters. I'll tell you, man. I'm impressed.
Yeah, can't count this lineup out, man.
They're good.
Every single night.
They're really good. They're a good ball club. Now, as far as, you know, what happens with Boehm, obviously we know what this team needs. You're going to need pitching and you're going to need defense at some point just to accentuate and help out the bats. Like Ranger Suarez. you know, I'm
yeah, not tough outing.
I'm not going to panic after one start where you're not really stretched out. But you know,
yeah, remember he came to the spring. He came to spring late because he had visa issues. So there's all kinds of stuff going on with Ranger. But yeah, I mean, Bohm saved himself yesterday with what he said after the game. He could have gone the Sean Rodriguez route and called us privileged fans, and that would not have gone over well at all, and he probably shouldn't have played ever again. But he saved himself with what he said yesterday. But I will say this, Ant. He's got to be careful, because remember last year he was obviously got sent down because he couldn't hit. Not just fielding, he couldn't hit. There was that moment he struck out, and there was the camera was zoomed in on him, and he said, "I can't bleep and hit," right? And now he had that yesterday. If you're NBC, if you're Fox Sports when they're on national TV or ESPN, you bet they're going to be zoomed in on him whenever he makes a mistake.
Yeah, and if I'm... Be careful, man. Yeah, and if I'm Girardi, you know what I do?
You play him.
Well, yeah, I mean, I first of all, I think Stott should play, right, against right-handers.
I don't understand why he wasn't.
Like, I don't understand why he wasn't in the lineup, all right, but whatever. But I would play Bohm at third tonight. I got to get over it. I mean, you know, baseball is you got to go right back in the box.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to go right back in the box.
He's hitting fine.
I would play, yes, and I would play him. But if I was Girardi, to your point about the cameras, I'd be like, dude, hold your glove up and yell into your glove.
Yeah, because remember,
put the glove over your face and scream and say whatever the hell you want. But put your glove over your face.
Nick Sirianni learned that early last year with the Derek Barnett situation, saying it's always him.
Right.
I didn't see him make a mistake like that the rest of the year.
Right. So next thing you know, his face was in the chart.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what you got to do. I mean, that's just, listen, it's part of, you know, the modern age of there's always on you. That's the bottom line. All right. So we're going to have some fun with the Phillies. And we're going to talk about the athlete, and we'll talk about Bohm. And we'll talk about the idea of transparency. And we'll compare and contrast. I got to talk about yesterday's show.
It bothered you, man.
I did not enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it a little bit. And look, part of it is, and I made sure to wear a Sixers shirt for you two people, because my belief is this. First of all, you know where my heart lies. I'm, you know, at this point, I don't fake nothing, right? It is what it is. All right? Now, I try to look things as objectively as possible. My belief is the Holy Trinity, right? The game first. So you'll be true to the game. So even though I want the Sixers to win, if I don't believe the Sixers are going to win, I'm going to say it. Team second, the players third. That's the Holy Trinity of sports. So I look at it, and yesterday, a bunch of just miserable people called the show. I got to say it. And listen, we can have some, everybody's got their own agenda, right? Like, so my agenda is we're going into the playoffs on Saturday. I want to have a better attitude. Now, am I telling you it's a lock that they're going to beat Toronto? I'm not. I don't believe it's a lock. I don't. Do I think they're going to beat Toronto? I do. Now you go, well, why do you think so? Well, because when you look at the NBA playoffs, the games change. So what happened the last 3 weeks is not admissible to playoff basketball. Now, I'm not saying the result might be the same. However, I'm throwing it out because it's the last 3 weeks of the regular season. And if you pay attention a little bit to the sport, you understand the difference. I don't need to tell you guys. You guys are sports fans. You guys know the NBA. It's not like we're talking about crypto, right? I mean, talking about basketball. I mean, I don't need to tell you guys. Now, I will disagree if you tell me that you need to play a zone against the Raptors, who can shoot the three ball, then I'll think you're a flaming idiot. All right? But I believe you know the game. My only point is, it's the playoffs. After game one, you'll see about Harden. And I think we'll have a better idea. Going into it, why do you want to be a miserable, bleeping person? person going into the playoffs. I don't understand it. We got to discuss this.
These guys are f***ing mean.
Lots to do, lots to get to, and yes, we got a ball club. It's going to be a good summer. Let's talk about the bags there. Yeah, the bag. I like to throw people in the bags sometimes. Yeah, the Bagster. What an invention. Because you look at it, right? You can get it at Home Depot, Lowe's, and your hardware stores, and it's a bag. And you go, wow, this is a dumpster? Then you open it up, and you spread it all out, and you realize, oh, all right. And it's got these two big straps on either end, right? On the end. So when they come and get it, they just hook it up, boom, and they get rid of it. And it holds 3,300 pounds of weight. So if you're doing anything with your cleanup, again, it could be the garage, the attic, or you're doing some remodeling. It works. It's tremendous. $29.99. And the best part about it, it's on demand. So I'm telling you, go to thebagster.com for all the details. Find out where you get it. The whole thing is Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up this spring with the Bagster dumpster.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for Morning Thoughts.
Hey, lady! Shut up!
Will you just shut your trap?
Shut up!
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because what were you thinking about this morning?
I was thinking about how I hate the morning, but some days I just hate it. I was looking forward.
What did you hate about today? Today was a nice day. Actually, it was raining when I walked to the house.
Yeah,
I was like, wait, exactly. I thought it was supposed to be 80 degrees today.
It wasn't, tomorrow would be better, but I kept thinking the kids have off beginning, I don't know, Thursday, Friday, but they're off next week. And I kept thinking, oh, that's great. I'll get a week and I'll have to drive to school.
That's nice.
Right? Like, that's always like
good.
You know. But I was thinking this because I had to run to the store on Sunday. And because they brought up the stores and everything this morning, John and Bobby and all, so I had to run to the supermarket. There was a woman in front of me and she's got her stuff out. And I was looking at the cart and I'm going, ew.
Yes.
I wouldn't eat any of that food.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Some people's carts, you go, wow, it looks good. Like, oh, I would do that.
Yeah.
And then other people's carts, you go, oh,
I remember
eating that.
I was at Acme when I was still in Manayunk one day, and there was a guy, he wasn't a college kid, right? And he looked a little bit older than me, and he had four different, gallons of juice. Like the green high C and like the orange high C, and I'm like, listen, I don't know who has kids and who doesn't, right? But I'm just like, I hope you have kids, because are you drinking that all by yourself? That is terrible for you. I get you every once in a while you have a
it's not good for the kids either. Putting all that sugar in.
Like he had the gallon jug and it was four different kinds. I'm like, ooh,
you high C man.
Yeah, like he was. He was a big fan of the high C. Yeah, I've done that before.
And you know there's no C in a high C.
No, absolutely not. Calories. That's high calories. That's your high C.
You know what it is, too? I don't know what it is, but like I skeeve mayonnaise.
Yeah, see, I like mayo.
Right? I know.
I don't over-mayo, but
most people do. But it's to the point where I hate looking at the jar. And I was looking at this woman's cart in front of me, and she had three big jars of it, of that Hellman's mayo.
She was probably making like a salad, like a pasta salad.
Right.
Or a potato salad.
And I just make, because I have a personal thing against it.
Easter's coming up, so maybe she's right. Making some sort of.
I hate the egg. I hate the whole thing. My wife will do those eggs, the deviled eggs.
No, I love a deviled egg.
Or the hard boiled eggs.
I've told you what my aunt made, the egg cooked inside the bacon shell, and I had eight of those one day. Yeah, they're good, man.
Yeah, I
think my heart stopped for like five
there's
minutes.
There's nothing worse than all that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm out on all that.
Yeah, I've seen it before.
But, you know, it's funny. I was just curious. It's like other people's fridges. You should never go in at another person's fridge.
I don't see what would lead you to go into somebody's fridge unless they say, hey, can you grab me something?
I don't know. It's just like, it's not your fridge.
No, I agree.
And you skeeve other, I don't know if you do, but for the most part, I skeeve other fridges.
Oh, because you probably don't like what's inside most fridges.
You know what I'm saying? It's like something personal. The cart, the fridge.
But you can see the cart because it's open.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, you know, you'd be over somebody's house. Like, I don't want to go in your fridge.
All right, I won't ask you to go in my fridge.
It's not my place to go in your fridge. That's your fridge.
Yeah, I got you. Or if I need a little help, like if I'm doing something, like, hey, can you grab the Hellman's for me? Would you even grab the Hellman's jar?
No,
you wouldn't touch it?
I would only touch it to roof it.
Okay. My morning thought, something that remained on my brain from last night's game, Ant. I know that we talk about the national media a lot because they just don't pay attention. There's nothing worse than who's the former linebacker that does the Eagles games every once in a while as a color analyst. And I remember Doug Peterson ran the ball the first four plays. This is Jonathan
Chris
Vilma. Vilma. And he goes,
about Spielman.
Well, if you've ever watched an Eagles game, you know that Doug Peterson has a run-first offense. He made that decision to say that because
right.
The first four plays were runs, and then the next like 96% of the plays were passes, and he started saying, oh, yeah, he's a pass-first guy. Yeah, okay, how about you do a little research? Well, yesterday, A.J. Pierzynski, now I thought it was just him, he kept on saying that Seth Lugo, who came in for relief for the Mets yesterday, was struggling because he's not used to being a reliever. If you just go to Seth Lugo's stats, Ant, Seth Lugo hasn't started in a game since 2020.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
And he only made spot starts because it was the weird shortened season because of COVID. Prior to that, he made five starts in 2018. His last time as a full-time starter was 2017. That's 5 years ago.
I don't get it.
Do a little research before you say something.
Yeah.
And then after the game, Dontrell Willis. Yeah, the Mets really put Seth Lugo in a tough spot. He's not used to coming out as a reliever.
I know.
What are you talking about?
I know, it's a shame. I'm a big D-Train fan.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I love Dontrell.
But now Dylan McKinnon has taken his place as the number one D-Train. Like, what are you... You're doing the post-game show. You've had extra time to do research. And you give me the same crap that Pierzynski said. And oh, by the way, I'm so glad that Pat Egan caught this yesterday. Because I thought I was alone and I thought I was hearing things. Here's a quick clip from A.J. Pierzynski yesterday saying that home runs aren't good, Ant.
Look, I love home runs, Adam, as much as the next guy. But sometimes home runs can be rally killers at the same time.
I heard that.
The bases.
Dude, I heard
you
that.
A double or a single.
I heard that.
Show on the other team, especially if it's a go-ahead home run.
But
listen, what are you talking about?
Listen, in a weird way, I like got what he was trying to convey.
That was 10 years ago.
But it was stupid. It was stupid 10 years ago. Because last night's perfect example is 4-1, and JT hits a two-run bomb.
Oh, God forbid.
And now it's 4-3. So what happens is at 4-3, you're feeling good. Now, you know, you're within a run.
Middle of the order. JT's the two-hitter.
Exactly.
You got 3-4-5 coming up.
In his mind, he's probably thinking, it's one of those deals where you're down big 9-2, right? And then you hit a three-run bomb in the end. Like, you're scratching a couple runs. Like, you make it 9-2. Then somebody hits a bomb to make it 9-5. And then it's almost a reset.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what he was trying to convey, but it was stupid.
Yeah, JT should have just slapped a single.
I know.
To make it first and second. Because it's stupid. If Harper hits the home run, it's a tie
ball. Right,
game.
It's stupid.
I don't understand that. And last thing, I'm just going to, get on my high chair here and yell at the world. Why are we back to the masks? I'll just say that. Nobody's going to wear them anymore. So that's number one. Number two, I've kept this from...
And by the way, you should also add that those masks that everybody wears...
Yeah, they don't do much.
They don't work. Like, and you know as a...
Yeah.
As the husband of a healthcare person...
Yeah. Listen, I thought it was very important...
It's only the ND...
I thought it was very important at the beginning.
Right.
But come on. That's number one. Number two, so I've kept this from off air. I haven't seen my son since Friday. I was COVID exposed, which sucked, and so I was playing it safe, and I've tested negative every day, but CDC says you should wait 5 days to get a test. So I've been doing the at-home tests that they sent out, and they're not fully accurate, so I'm not going to risk that either.
No.
So this morning, I go to an urgent care to get one of the legit PCR tests that take about 2 hours to come back. There's the 48-hour ones, there's the two-hour ones. So I got the higher end one. Dude, I spent $200. Let me just say this. Part of the reason why we probably still do have the pandemic is who wants to spend $200 on a test? Who?
Well, right. Well, I was an idiot.
I did it because I want to go see my son.
Right.
Right? Like, that's the only reason why I did it. But if I didn't have a son in the NICU, I would have been like, all right, the at-home test, all right, negative.
When that, those at-home tests, we did it around Christmas time.
Yeah.
The best is, right? We go around Christmas time because Mossy wasn't feeling. I run around CVS, CVS, CVS. I get two tests. He takes them. He's negative. What happens? The whole family gets sick.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Because they're not.
They don't work.
They're not fully accurate.
They're not even 50. You might as well flip a coin.
Now, look, it was accurate for me. But I also didn't want to risk it because of stories like that. But $200, dude?
I know.
Now I'm fortunate enough where I was able to fork up the $200 to get the test.
Yeah, because you have a baby.
But there's other people that might not be able to fork it up.
No, dude, I hear you.
And that's why we're still dealing with this. Because what are we price gouging for?
I know. No, especially something like that.
That ain't right, man.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
So I get to see him today for the first time since
Happy
Friday.
Happy for you, buddy. I know it's been killing
me. Oh, it's been driving me insane.
It's been killing me.
Shout out to Janet. Nurse Janet.
Way to go, Nurse Janet.
Who FaceTimed with us for an hour yesterday so we could see him. So that was cool.
Way to go, Nurse Janet. Love that. All right. Listen, it's finally baseball season. And
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.